Good Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Third item is an Enterprise Vehicle Leasing Program, discussion and approval to enter into a contract with Enterprise Fleet Management for fleet maintenance for the Development Services Departments and Engineering on a trial basis. Authorize the County Administrator to execute all related documents for the leasing program.
So, you know, I was wondering, this is Santa Rosa County Commissioner Kerry Smith at the agenda, the committee workshop that they had on Monday. The real meeting is today. And as you heard David talking about the story we were telling about on Tuesday with the Santa Rosa Band of the Muskogee Indians, that they, you know, they're working on a project, okay, that's going to come up today for discussion. But then you have this one, and I always wonder, when I open a segment and I play these clips, a lot of the, you know, administrators and politicians, they listen to the show, I often wonder if they don't get just a little bit nervous, like, uh-oh, here he goes, talking about me now, uh-oh, no, it's all right. So what you've got here is... basically, they're instead of buying new vehicles, they've got about 200 cars, more than that, but you know, around 200 cars, and that Santa Rosa County owns, and they're thinking about putting about 30 of those cars instead of buying new ones. They're going to convert over to using. It's not quite fair to say it's a lease program, but Enterprise, you know, the car rental company, does fleet management, and it's sort of more like a lease where they manage the fleet and replace them more frequently because, you know, when you buy and use, you tend to keep it longer and they become more expensive to operate and maintain. They break down more frequently. And so the idea theoretically behind this program is to save some money, get better cars, get access to cars because buying cars these days is just hard. And, you know, basically to do better by the county across the board in that regard by essentially hiring as a trial to work with Enterprise on this. This is Sabrina Wright. She's the deputy budget person. She kind of explained the program.
So we have about 267 vehicles in our total fleet. And with that's counting the property appraiser, everybody but the sheriff. And so then we just looked at our BOCC fleet, which is about 210 vehicles. And so we're taking about 15% of those vehicles and putting them into the program, which is going to be our inspections department, engineering, planning and zoning, and code enforcement, which we have vehicles that we need in those departments.
Yeah, I mean, those are departments that drive around a lot, right? They go to stuff and they put a lot of miles on those cars. And so this gives us a chance to substitute out for some of the high mileage cars and also gives us real fleet management over those vehicles. And again, you know, makes the fleet more functional and also saves money. At least theoretically, that's the goal. Sam Parker says, I just can't do this.
I don't mind if y'all move it to consent agenda. I may make comments on Thursday. I've just honestly, this is a tough one to swallow for me. And I have the utmost respect for Sabrina and Jane and Brad, and I think they know that, and I value their opinions more than I can quantify in words. I think a lot of this just goes against the ingrained fabric of pretty much everything that I've always practiced on personal finances, and that's why.
So what he's getting at is he buys a car and runs it into the ground, like a lot of us do, because that's basic, you know, basic good financial management, Dave Ramsey kind of stuff. And he says, look, I just can't swallow this pill. It doesn't mean to make a big show out of it. He just says, I can't support the idea of, as a county, doing something that as an individual I would never, ever, ever, ever do, right? Which you can see that. Well, Devan Cook says, look, it's a trial program. We're just trying to kind of see how it goes. James Calkins, Commissioner Calkins, wants to know how many cars. And it turns out it's going to be about 31 that are on the verge of needing replacing, something like that. And I had to actually read some of the backup on this to get a sense of, you know, how many. And I'm still not 100% clear because different numbers were thrown around. But we're in that vicinity. You know, it's like the 10, 20, 30 kind of vicinity of cars. And as Kerry Smith emphasized,
yeah, I'm more leaning on this. I mean, if we're using it to replace,
this is James Calkins,
current vehicles, I mean, that makes sense.
Let me stress one thing.
Hold on.
Temporary. It's trial.
Yeah, I know. Okay. Yeah, that's why That's why I'm fine.
And James Calkins is raising concerns about this program. Kerry Smith says, look, it's a temporary, it's a trial. We're just going to do this a little bit and see how it goes. We'll finish up this conversation in a second. Let's get traffic on the fives with Candy.
Good news is we're not showing any of those slowdowns or delays. 29 accident-free, not showing any problems in Cantonment, Molino, Pensacola, down to the split at Pace Palafox. If you have a traffic tip, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
And as these conversations often do, Candy, thanks so much for the update. They give us a chance to hear something we just didn't expect to hear from Commissioner James Calkins.
The only concerns I would have is, you know, I've never been provided a vehicle in my life. I buy my own vehicle. I go to work. I pay my gas and so on and so forth. And I know we've added all these new employees. And, you know, as you all know, I've been opposed to that. Now, that's done. But I don't want to be adding new vehicles also. That's just a concern I have. But replacing current, you know, vehicles, you know, that's a different story.
What he's getting at is he has consistently opposed hiring new people despite growing demands for services and a growing county. He says don't hire people. And if you're now buying cars for the new people you hire, that's an extra cost, which, you know, that's the perspective that he's coming from.
If someone needs a vehicle, it's our county administrator and our assistant administrator. But there's certain departments, for instance, commissioners do not need vehicles. You know, assistants don't need vehicles, stuff like that.
Okay, but I don't think anybody's really proposing that particularly. But okay, so his argument is, I just don't want to be acquiring new vehicles for replacing existing. Okay, that's fine. Sam Parker is still basically, and James Calkins kind of leaned in this direction too a little bit, is, you know, we should buy them, not rent them, not lease them, basically. And Sam Parker came back with,
so everybody gets their zingers.
I was just going to say, I'm going to wait till Thursday for the regular agenda for any comments.
I was just going to say, since everybody gets a zinger, I swear when you said it's temporary,
Kerry Smith,
I was reminded of that Ronald Reagan quote of nothing lasts longer than a temporary government program.
Well, wait a minute. I was trying to say trial.
Okay. You said temporary.
That I did not.
But I love you.
Let's square the record out. I was trying to say trial.
Yesterday was my 18-year wedding anniversary, and I almost wore it today. My wife, for a gift, got me the ball cap with the Reagan Bush 84 logo on it. Fits amazing.
Fits amazing.
Oh, and that's, of course, thoughtful.
And so, yeah, right. And
that,
you know, and Sam used to be a cop. Okay,
right.
I'm
right.
Probably going to oppose it, but again, it's just because it goes against the inherent fabric. My first sheriff's car was a 1996 Crown Vic, and I remember breaking down several times and being towed and all that. But I don't know, on vehicles, the way they're made now, the vast majority of our roads are paved. I feel like a lot of people, you know, buy cars sooner than they have to.
And his philosophy is buy it and run it into the ground, right?
I think y'all are the number one vehicle purchaser in the country as far as volume. So I understand that y'all bring a lot of potential and possibilities there. And so that is no reflection. It just, it goes against my fabric to lease a vehicle. I say buy it and run that thing until the wheels fall off. But
yeah, which is what, I mean, look, I have a Honda Civic right now that I've had for, gosh, I don't know, about 12 years, I guess, maybe 13 years, something like that. It's an 07. And I bought it used, and it's got like 180,000 miles on it. And I figure it's like just entering midlife. You know, I took a Honda Accord to 330,000 miles. Like, I believe in this philosophy, right? This is a very, very good philosophy. But what Will McAbee from Enterprise is saying is, yeah, I understand as an individual, but when you are an entity like a government, the numbers work out differently.
The one thing, the last thing I'll say about the philosophy is there's a very different strategy from an individual's approach to managing a vehicle versus an organization, especially a government organization. Being the Enterprise does purchase more vehicles than anyone else from these manufacturers. We have to buy a few hundred thousand million vehicles a year is roughly what we're ebbing and flowing out of our fleet to achieve what they call tier four incentives. So, you know, pricing starts at MSRP and then there's retail, or then there's invoice pricing. Well, as a government organization, you start at invoice pricing less any tier four incentives that you qualify for. That doesn't matter if you buy one or if you buy 100 or 1,000. It doesn't matter. You're automatically qualified for that. So with that and the hit that you and I typically try to avoid from buying a brand new vehicle off the lot and it nosediving in price as soon as those wheels hit the front yard out front,
right?
You mitigate that being a government organization because of your buying. So it's really marrying up that acquisition strategy from the front end and leveraging your low buy and our knowledge on the market as a whole and how it ebbs and flows year over year.
So what he's saying is that you don't take that same depreciation hit on these cars the way the system functions, and you're trying to manage the fleet, and you're shortening the current vehicle life cycle. I looked at some of the backup documentation. Currently, about 8 years is the average life in a Santa Rosa vehicle in the fleet, and this is going to reduce it to 3, which means that the cars will not take as much maintenance. They will function more reliably. They won't break down as often. All of which are important things because, you know, you want the cars to work, right? I mean, that's – so I'm the same way as Sam. Like, my first glance at this, I'm like, no, buy cars. And then the more I heard him talk about the way it works, it made sense to me. This service of fleet management, which, of course, is what a lot of, you know, government entities do, just maybe not our local county governments or whatever. It also raised a different question for me in that if the issue is not taking that depreciation hit on the initial buy, which, of course, is why I say don't buy new cars, buy used cars. Why doesn't government buy used cars?
Hello?
I know. If the better practice is to buy a car that's 2 years old and use it for a while, why doesn't government do that? I mean,
because they like to give money away and let it blow away in the
road. I was going to say, no offense, but, you know, why are you being less frugal with your money that's my money than I am with my money?
Because it's easy to be generous with other people's money.
Right. And look, I understand that certain kinds of vehicles, like sheriff's vehicles, you know, they're specialized. Maybe that's a different category. But, you know, for the building inspector's vehicle, why does that need to be a new car? I don't know whether there is any purchasing of used vehicles by government, but it's suddenly like, oh, duh. You know, why don't we do that? So this is going to be a discussion today. I did not think it was going to be that big of an issue, but it was at the end of the meeting on Monday, and it did discuss, you know, become kind of a contentious thing, and so I wanted to raise your awareness of it. We're going to talk about this a little bit with Wes Moreno in Escambia County coming up in a few minutes to find out kind of what we do here, because, you know, all of a sudden I'm interested in fleet management. I'm such a nerd. I'm sorry, but there it is. 622 on News Radio 92.3. Speaking of that benefit of buying used vehicles, you know, Frontier is a place that Dave Ramsey recommends. I recommend because, precisely, you get a basically new, in terms of function, age, and miles and condition, vehicle, but at a used price because you're buying it a couple of years old. 1, 2, 3 years old, low miles, that's the idea. And, you know, we got a car that had, I think it was 11,000 when we bought it. It was a year old, and it had come back off of a lease, and the folks in Orlando couldn't sell it at the dealership, so they put it for auction. Frontier bought it, and we got a car. Cheap. Like a really, really good price on a Honda Odyssey, and that's what they specialize in. Frontier Motors, about 300 different cars on the lot at any moment. You can try a bunch of different ones, and I recommend that you do. Serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast. We've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities, too, by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Things keep getting bigger and better at Darrell Sewing of Pensacola. Darrell Sewing is the largest sewing machine dealer in the Pensacola area, offering a variety of sewing machines, sergers, and embroidery systems, plus a large selection of sewing machine furniture, craft supplies, and fabrics. Financing is available too. Call him today, 850-438-5444. Darrell Sewing, located at 6705 North Davis Highway between Creighton and Burgess. Online at sewinginpensacola.com.
Mom, can we have some ice cream?
I've got a better idea. Who wants to help me make something fun and healthy instead?
Me! Eating smarter is easy and delicious. Interested in receiving healthy recipes and a whole lot more in your email? Then register at healthiestweightfl.com and learn more about all the small steps that you can take on the way to living healthy. This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the Florida Department of Health, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
News Radio 92.3 is Pensacola's radio home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog, too.
Yeah, I got a couple of notes in here from some friends who are in various government positions giving me some input here. One is that the government pricing for the new vehicles is typically less than what you or I could get for a 2 or 3 year used vehicle, meaning they do get those discounts, which is kind of what the enterprise guy was getting at, is they get those discounts, and so it's not the same as the individual buying the used car and running the wheels off compared to buying the new car. And the problem has been inventory, just getting vehicles. Has been the challenge. I mean, they're on like a year lag time, I think, right now for ordering these things. And I've heard that for various agencies talking about the difficulty of just plain acquiring the vehicles is an issue these days. 626 here on News Radio 92.3. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And good news is we're not showing any of those slowdowns yet. 98 looking clear. Taking a look through Navarre all the way into Pensacola. Not showing any problems there. And then through the rest of going into Baldwin County, too. Everything is clear. Lillian looking just fine. Certainly if you see an accident or have traffic tips for 437-1620. Text them in, please. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
We got another perspective on this is that, you know, if Enterprise acquires this contract, a local dealership somewhere is losing the contract. And it might be that somebody who's got a local dealership is talking to Sam saying, hey, brother, can you maybe, you know, I mean, that's possible, too. I mean, constituents come in all shapes and sizes, right? David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
A judge in Wyoming has temporarily blocked a ban on abortions in the state. Judge Melissa Owens' ruling prevents enforcement of a law that would make all abortions a felony. The White House reportedly breaking up its COVID-19 response team after the public health emergency ends in May. And General Motors planning to stop production of the Chevy Camaro next year. The last of the 2024s is going to come off the assembly line in January. Now, GM hasn't confirmed anything on the future of the car, but they did say it's not the end of the Camaro's story.
Mm-hmm. Well, they'll probably convert it to a little runaround electric vehicle. They'll do to it what they did to the Mustang, as in destroy it.
Yeah, electric is the speculation if it does come back.
Yeah,
so.
Unfortunately. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 628 here on News Radio 92.3, an informative, local, dependable. What else do we have going on? Kind of an odd bill. It caught my attention yesterday because, you know, I don't know, strange things catch my attention because I'm always on the lookout for something I don't know, and here's one I didn't know. Minor League Baseball. They don't make a lot of money, in case you hadn't heard. Major League Baseball, after you get through the initial, I think it's 4 years for the starting contract is very set, and after that is when you make all your money. But in any case, the minor league baseball players, they don't make an awful lot of money. In fact, they make so little, apparently, that they are below the state minimum wage, which...
Wait, what?
Okay. So the House Regulatory Reform and Economic Development Subcommittee in the Senate was voting on a bill where what they're trying to do is to designate Major League, not Major League, but Minor League Baseball as extended tryout period work. Sort of like semi-intern.
Right.
You know, where you don't have to satisfy like federal minimum wage is the idea, and which does have actually federal minimum wage exemptions do exist, like for baseball players, casual babysitters, seasonal amusement workers, and border patrol agents. The what now? What? Oh my God. Okay.
They don't get paid minimum.
There's a carve out. I don't know if they don't get paid it, but they don't have to get paid it.
No wonder there's issues.
You know, right? That's kind of the thing.
I mean,
So, and you know, Angie Nixon, who is one of these sort of outspoken Democrats and not the best one, in my opinion. Some Democrats I think are fantastic, even though I disagree with them. She's not one of those. But she says that people think of baseball just as a pastime and it's fun. But for those baseball players, it's their actual job. They have to work at it. They have to put in time for practice, time to the gym. They need to be paid for that. Ed Hooper, the advocate of the bill from Clearwater, said, most of these players are from third world countries where if they remain in their country, their best case scenario would be to earn $5,000 or $10,000 a year. Letting them play in the minor leagues, even at a fairly low level for Americans, is actually a pretty big deal for them and the possibility they'll get discovered and move up and make millions. So
almost the cruise ship theory.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it is.
Exactly. All right, 6:30 here on News Radio 92.3. Coming up in just a moment, Escambia Administrator Wes Moreno. Lots of stuff on the meeting agenda for today. We'll get to that with him. David, what do you have coming up, sir?
There's been a conviction and a murder trial. We'll tell you about it after this update from Fox.
Fox News, and I'm Chris Foster. The Manhattan grand jury investigating former President Trump reconvenes at noon Eastern to hear more testimony or to vote on charges.
The grand jury must decide if Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg's case that a $130,000 hush money payment to Daniels was a crime and warrants a first ever indictment of a former president. Any deliberation and vote will be done secretly and would only be revealed after an arrest and in court. Gernal Scott, Fox News.
Two people are hurt. There's building damage from a tornado in Southern California.
The National Weather Service confirms there was a tornado in Montebello, a city east of Los Angeles. Videos show a funnel cloud with debris swirling through the air. Tornadoes that affect this area tend to spin up too rapidly to detect or warn for.
Fox's Kristen Goodwin. 11 buildings are deemed too damaged to be safe. It's the strongest tornado in L.A. County in 40 years. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, it's 6:31, News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. 59 degrees, partly cloudy skies right now in Pensacola. Jury deliberations lasted less than an hour yesterday. At the end, an Escambia County man was found guilty of killing his roommate in 2021, Giles Jones, sentenced to life in prison. For the death of LaTanya Baxter, whose body was found near Flomaton weeks after being reported missing, Giles was arrested after a photo of Baxter's body was found on his cell phone. The search for a missing boater near NAS Pensacola will continue despite the Coast Guard calling off their search efforts on Wednesday. OB Pettit with Escambia Search and Rescue says they're going to be taking Thursday off, but they will continue that search for Pete Griffin tomorrow.
The worst thing on earth is to do this and not be able to bring closure to families and stuff, which is the whole point of being here. And to not be successful is very disappointing.
And Pettit says that Florida Fish and Wildlife is also going to be assisting in that search. The Coast Guard covered over 100 square miles in about 9 hours of searching. Florida juries could soon have the ability to recommend a death sentence without having to be unanimous in the decision. The Senate Rules Committee approving a bill that allows 8 of 12 jurors to recommend the death penalty.
Because then what you effect have is you have at least one protest juror can then give her or his opinion and basically stop the death penalty from being imposed.
And one change to the bill would allow for judges to impose a life sentence even if the death penalty is recommended. A similar bill also working its way through a House committee at the moment. There's an interview airing tonight where Governor Ron DeSantis will launch what's being described as a blistering attack on former President Donald Trump. That's what Piers Morgan wrote yesterday about this interview he did with Ron DeSantis. That's going to air on Fox Nation tonight. A Florida World War II veteran's turning 98 years old this week. He'll be celebrating over the weekend with a tandem skydive out of a plane that flew in World War II. Vince Speranza is that veteran's name. He'll be jumping from a vintage C-47. Now, this is part of a rehearsal. A group of reenactors are actually planning to jump this spring in France. To commemorate the invasion of Normandy, they'll be using round parachutes that resemble the ones used by paratroopers in 1944. But this rehearsal happening this weekend, the 98-year-old veteran will be tandem skydiving to celebrate his birthday. It is 6:34, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives.
All right. Somebody, I had said earlier, hey, no accidents yet. And they said they're going to look to me for optimism. So I was like, which is not what I meant to say. But sure, the roads are clear right now. That's what I meant to say. Again, 98, not showing any problems. 90, also accident-free, not showing any issues yet. 87, no problems. And taking a look through Navarre, looks really nice. If you see an accident or you have a traffic tip, text them in, please. 437-1620. It's News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
A beautiful day today with mostly sunny skies. Temperatures warm.
warming up into the mid to upper 70s. Overnight tonight, temperatures staying mild with lows in the 60s. We're going to stay warm as we head into Friday. Plenty of sunshine for Friday morning and afternoon. Clouds move in Friday evening, highs in the upper 70s. Friday night, temperatures dropping into the 60s. Showers and thunderstorms possible through the overnight hours into Saturday morning. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. Right now, 59, partly cloudy in Pensacola, 60 in Gulf Breeze, 55 in Milton. Clear traffic and a beautiful day ahead. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, optimistic.
I'm Jennifer Kuchinka with Your Money Now. The bar consumers will have to clear to get approved for loans and credit cards will likely rise along with interest rates, partly as a result of the fallout from the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank. The Fed raised interest rates another quarter of a percentage point yesterday. Though that's on the smaller end, recent troubles across the banking industry, caused in part by higher rates, will likely lead banks to toughen lending standards. Since the arrival of chatbots that can carry on conversations and ace the LSAT, many people have been in awe of the artificial intelligence technology's capabilities. Others, like publishers of online content, see a threat to their businesses. In recent weeks, publishing executives have begun examining the extent to which their content has been used to train AI tools such as ChatGPT and how they would be compensated and what the legal options are. The publishers say they produce content that's generating revenue for others who don't make the same investments. On Wall Street, futures higher. That's Your Money Now.
The steak experts at Omaha Steaks are helping you spring into something delicious with their semi-annual sale. Grab all your favorites at 50% off, like tender steaks, ocean fresh seafood, air-chilled chicken, and more. Plus, use promo code QUALITY at omahasteaks.com at checkout for an additional $30 off your order. Get fired up and spring into something special. But hurry, 50% off site-wide is only for a limited time. Visit omahasteaks.com. Use code QUALITY at checkout for an additional $30 off during their semi-annual sale today. Minimum order may be required.
Breaking news.
Tax refund shock is everywhere, but what is it?
My tax refund shrank.
Mine too.
The culprit? Pandemic-related stimulus payments and tax credits expiring. In this reporter's opinion, you need a tax expert.
Hey guys, Jackson Hewitt guarantees your biggest refund.
And tax prep is 50% off? Going there now.
50% off is a limited-time offer for new clients filing at participating locations. Max value $200. Visit jacksonhewitt.com/50 for terms.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
News Radio Pensacola is your source for informative, local, dependable news and talk. Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay gets you a breakdown of the local issues from the county commission meetings to new developments. Pep Talk gets your local expert opinions on everything from gardens to HVAC. Brian Kilmeade interviews the national newsmakers. Dave Ramsey helps you become debt-free. Pensacola Right Now infotains on your drive home. Local and Fox News at the top and bottom of every hour. And traffic on the fives during your drive time. News Radio 92.3. Informative. Local. Dependable.
Ever hear me leaning heavy on what I'll just call Camaro rock, then you know I probably have Wes Moreno coming on the show.
I love this music.
I know. Hey, Wes. Wes Moreno's the Escambia County Administrator. Camaro Trans Am, Mustang, I don't want to insult your car brand.
Well, I didn't have any of those growing up.
So. Oh, that surprises me. I figure you for that guy. A truck? I'm just curious.
Yeah, I got a truck. I'm all right, truck all guy.
Right, fair enough. That'll work for me. Lot of stuff. Oh, my God, the agenda for today is ridiculous. You're going to try to do three meetings in one meeting by my measure. Basically, you're going to try to do the better than the 7.5-hour meeting that the school board did on Monday, but hopefully that doesn't actually happen today. So let's talk about some of this. One is you're going to talk about the District 1 medical examiner's facility that has been this bugaboo for years and years and years and years and years. It seems to me like where we're at, the most likely plan to get agreement would be a split facility, that we refurbish Sacred Heart and get that really up to where it needs to be and add to it as needs to be, and that the other three counties kind of figure their deal out, maybe in a location even in Okaloosa County, and the medical examiner's office can just figure out how to run two facilities. Is this how you see it going, or do you think there's really still a chance for a single facility located maybe in Santa Rosa?
You know, I don't know about a single facility in Santa Rosa. I mean, it's possible. I know I listened to Walton County's meeting and Santa Rosa County's meeting the other day, and I know that's kind of how they're tracking. I know there's still some concerns with my board members that, you know, the cost. I know they tried to, the latest proposal has a scaled-down building to like 17,000 square foot or something like that. From 24,000 square foot, and the cost coming from the estimate from 24 million rather, to about 20 million. You just never know who's going to manage that design, what's the construction cost going to be by the time you get to the point of construction. And that's the other thing I hear being talked about. It's almost like we're going to do this, and here next week we're going to have a new building, and that's just not how it's going to be. So we've been working with Sacred Heart, and, you know, we buy a new cooler. It's about 6 months out, because they're still going to have to operate. They're still going to have to function and operate while we design a new building or build a new building, wherever it may be. So I think the upgrades at Sacred Heart are needed. I mean, if they need space now, they're going to need space in the next 3 to 4 years while the buildings come to fruition. So I think that's a component that we should move forward on. But we'll see how our board reacts this morning. I know there's some different thoughts from different ones, so we'll just have to see how the discussion goes.
And look, I've said this many times. It absolutely needs to happen. We obviously need to improve facilities, but getting four different counties, each of whom are accountable to one slice of their county, all on board on how to spend a ton of money to do this, it's just, you know, and I mean, I start to thinking about things like, you and I talked a week or two ago about the value of these sort of prefabricated buildings for making fire stations out of, you know, that's significantly cheaper. And then I start to think about how, you know, we got a lot of kids in both of our counties who are learning every day in modulars. You know, if the kids are going to school in a mobile home, basically, you know, how much of this does this facility? And I know that's probably not a feasible model for a medical examiner's office, but goodness, you know, $20 million sounds like a lot to me. So anyway, I know it's a big conversation for today, and you guys will get into it quite a bit. One of the things I wanted to also ask you about is something that has come out of Santa Rosa County. I'm just kind of curious what we do in Escambia County, because Santa Rosa is having a discussion now about replacing some of its regular car fleet by not buying new cars like it normally would do, but instead going to Enterprise to do fleet management for them. And that would be able to maybe save them some money, maybe give them some, you know, better lifespan on these cars and whatnot. And I was just wondering two questions. Does Escambia do any fleet management from outside agencies like an Enterprise? And number two, do y'all ever buy used vehicles? Is that even a better deal for a government entity versus like how individuals it's better to buy used than new?
We've looked at that kind of a fleet management setup before. It's something when Jack Brown was administrator, we took a look at it.
Okay.
And at that time, so, you know, it depends on what you get locked into. You know, you get locked into a long-term thing, and you don't have as much control over your fleet budget, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you hit a recession and things get hard and you start having to make some cuts and make some decisions, and you get locked in, it just depends on what you lock into. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It could be a good thing. At that point in time, we didn't feel like it was the right thing for us. As far as buying vehicles, we have bought some used vehicles, especially here recently, because just of the availability. You know, you find something that's a little bit used, and if it's spec'd out the right way for whatever we're needing it for, and it's immediately available. We have done that in the past year. We've done that a couple times.
Okay.
The other thing when we buy vehicles, I think, we do, Scandia anyway, tries to utilize your cooperative contracts, like your state sheriff's contract or just whatever cooperative contract is out there that usually gives you a much better price than what you're going to go buy a vehicle, a truck off the lot, if you will, or in sometimes even a used truck off the lot, because a lot of your used vehicles, they're not really, they're kind of decked out a different way than what we're looking for most of the time. But when we find a good used vehicle that's set up the right way, we have pulled the trigger on it.
Okay, and I'm not surprised by that, and I certainly know that you guys have been more creative when it comes to, acquiring new platforms for EMS and ECFR, because, if they were available or if they were spec or whatever, that's been something y'all have been doing. So I appreciate that. That's interesting. And also I understand that, governments get better deals than individuals get. That makes sense to me, too. Wes Moreno, hang on for just a second. Let's get traffic on the fives from Candy.
Not showing any issues. It looks like Brent not showing any problems, or Michigan or Beverly or that whole road seems really clear right now. Not showing any traffic problems. Savannah is clear through the curve on Scenic. Summit also not showing any accidents. Text 437-1620 if you have traffic tips. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Wes Moreno, Escambia County Administrator. To me, one of the really big discussion items on the agenda today is this question of the money that's coming in from Rebuild Florida for Hurricane Sally infrastructure repair grants. And you and I have not had a chance to really get into this too much in the past, but Scambia and Santa Rosa are divvying up around $53.5 million. That's a substantial amount of money. And in the applications that you've got listed out in the backup here, you've got things like the, new ECAT Transit Center or upgrading the Pensacola Bay Center, or doing a multi-use sports facility at Ashton-Brosnahan. And when I read those, I'm like, well, that doesn't seem like Sally stuff. Maybe the ECAT facility, maybe a little bit because it was damaged. But then there's all of these things in here with stormwater and septic to sewer and, millions and millions and millions of dollars that to me seem right in the heart of recovery from Hurricane Sally and prevention of harm from future big rain events. Why are we even talking about the new building projects instead of all just the 4 and 5 on this backup stuff?
Well, as far as ECAT goes, ECAT is, it sits right in the LMI and low moderate income area. And it did receive damage during Hurricane Sally, some flooding, and it's received repetitive flooding throughout the years.
Sure.
So we thought that would be a good fit, for the application. Bay Center, the upgrades and the Ashton-Brosnahan thing, sports complex, that's something that some of the commissioners, Commissioner Berry wanted to see that on the list, and there was the Bay Center upgrades are being talked about now. We've got a RFP that we put out to take a look at some upgrades, and then also acts as a shelter in an LMI area, so that kind of makes it applicable. And then, of course, as you mentioned, the stormwater, those seem to be low-hanging fruit, if you will, and they're in the LMI area. And so we have a number of them on there, and we'll see. Take the board's discussion and see which ones we're going to apply for. The thing that makes this difficult is you're only allowed, at the moment anyway, you're only allowed to submit 3 applications. So that's a lot of money if you can only submit 3 applications.
Yeah.
So you got to be kind of creative in your approach. And we've had conversations with HUD and the folks. Can we stack projects? Can we take 3 drainage projects and make 1 application?
Right.
Maybe so. Maybe so. We're still looking for some of that guidance. We've also asked, can we up the number of applications to 5? And so far, we've got no favorable response on that request. So it looks like it's going to be 3 applications as we move forward, and we'll just see which 3 we go with, how we move.
Well, I hear the argument about the value of the shelter for the Bay Center. What it feels like is, hey, somebody's giving us money. Hey, we have this need over here. Maybe we can use it for that, even though it's not exactly, the thing that you would think of. But, I get the frustration. Like, if you really think you can only ask for 3, how do you, can you bundle some of these stormwater projects? It just seems like those are, as you said, especially in the low to moderate income areas, you can really, solve several problems at one time that are like right in the heart of the idea of Hurricane Sally rebuild. Also, and you know, I know you'll have this conversation this morning as well. It's a smaller item on the agenda. Go ahead.
If I could add one more thing to that.
Yeah, go ahead.
The other stipulation is when you submit these applications, work stops. You can't work on these projects. So you have to pick projects that are not, you know, if you're driving hard to get something on the street, that's not the project you want to, that's not the project you want to submit, because you have to stop until you go through the approval process.
Oh,
that's just another stipulation of the grant.
That's very frustrating, because what you're looking for is the big, important, most significant, but they can wait. Like, that's a weird, dilemma.
Just makes it difficult, you know?
Absolutely. Hey, just a real quick thing before I let you go, that I caught this item on the agenda and just seemed like a weird one. We give incentives to people to come on board as new hires, but if they don't stick around for 2 years, we've paid them money and they owe us that money back, because that's part of the deal. There's about 20 or so people on this list. I calculated around $42,000 for small claims filings, about $2,000, $1,500 to $2,000 apiece. Is that continuing to be a problem, where we get people in for a short period of time, they get trained, and then it's either not for them or they go somewhere else, and kind of they owe us for that incentive payback?
Well, yeah, we've made some modifications. You know, when we first started, how you hire on, and here's your incentive, you know, your sign-on bonus, if you will, sign-on incentive pay. And then we send you for corrections. And for instance, where a lot of them are, we send them through the academy, pay for that. And then maybe they wash out of the academy, they don't make it. And so here we go, you owe us money back. And sometimes some of them will set up a payment program, some of them will just pay it back, and then some of these we have to go get it. So what we've decided to do is we've modified it a while back, where we'll bring you on, we'll pay for you to go to the school or the academy. Then we're going to bring you in. You're going to successfully go through the training, or in-house training process. And once you successfully complete that and you become a sure enough certified officer, then at that point in time, we will give you the incentive pay at that point in time.
Okay. All right. So,
then we have a little bit better feel that, hey, okay, this person will make it. You know, they've come to all this, they go through all the training, they got their state certification. Now we kind of get a better feel of it, that they'll stick with us.
So not at the front door so much as, you know, at the back of the living room. That's where we're giving them the money,
That
makes more sense. And you guys are going to talk about the broadband fund. You guys are going to talk about a whole bunch of stuff for, some flood mitigation work. I mean, it's just, there's a lot of, and including, you know, apartments, a change in land development. I mean, it's going to be a big meeting today. So I hope it's not a 7-hour meeting for all of our sakes, but I appreciate the work and I appreciate the time that you spend with our audience explaining some of this stuff. Wes Moreno, he is the Escambia County Administrator. As always, Wes, a pleasure, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, Andrew, thank you. We'll see you now.
You bet. 6:52 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Join Travis Thompson with Climatech of Professional Air, an American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning independent customer care dealer in the Pensacola area, on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9:30. Join in as Travis discusses how you can lower your energy bill and create a healthy, comfortable home. Join Travis today at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Celebrate the arts this Saturday and Sunday in the Breeze at the 27th annual Gulf Breeze Arts Festival. Check out the over 100 local, regional, and national artist booths. For more info, gulfbreezearts.com. Join the Pensacola Ice Flyers, UWF, and the Gulf Coast Kids House for a fun friends and family day this Sunday. A portion of the proceeds benefits the Gulf Coast Kids House. See gulfcoastkidshouse.org for more. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Saturdays, you get The Garden Line Encore at 9, At Home with Gary Sullivan at 10, Swan Capital at 1, Let's Go Pensacola at 4.
Fifty-five!
down the gas, 343. Florida's 341. Texas is 306. California's 482. Navarre, 315 east and west, hasn't moved all week. 311 at the foot of the Garcon Point. That's at the Walmarts. 311 at the foot of the Garcon Point Bridge across the street at the Murphy. 321 in Gulfreeze proper at the Exxon. 309 in Milton and in Pace. And then 314 looks like is your better price at the Cumberland Farms, getting out of Pace. Or S&P Ridge before. Anyway, getting over to Pensacola, looks like the Walmart has 304 on 9 Mile. Same at the Murphy in front of the Walmart on US 29. And coming in from the southwest side, 311 at the Shell at Pace or the TNC on Navy. These gas prices are brought to you by Pete Moore Volkswagen with the lowest out-the-door price on your next new Volkswagen, PeteMooreImports.com. Somebody texted in and said, oh, Andrew, you missed the label. It's called Mullet Rock.
Mullet Rock.
Mullet and T-tops, yeah. Baby. Yeah, baby. All right. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Mullet Rock. Does it paint a picture? Taking a look around, not showing any problems. Looks like Olive not showing any issues. Davis, good to go on I-10. I-110 not showing any problems at all. Garcon Point Bridge not showing any issues. 3 Mile Bridge also clear. Certainly, if you see an accident or have a traffic tip, text it in. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks, Candy. David Wayne now in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The CEO of TikTok will be addressing U.S. lawmakers today because of security concerns over their app. He talked about it in a TikTok video.
I'll be testifying before Congress. Now, this comes at a pivotal moment for us.
Members of the House Energy and Commerce Committee are expected to grill Xiao Chu, who will be arguing that the app is safe for minors. The National Weather Service has confirmed a tornado landed just outside Los Angeles yesterday. A city spokesman says one person was hurt and taken to a hospital. And as you're scrolling through social media today, you'll no doubt see lots of pictures of puppies, Andrew. It's because today is National Puppy Day.
Oh, look at the little puppy.
Celebrating puppies.
All right.
It was founded in 2006.
Just a note from all of my animal lover friends and myself as well. Just remember, puppies grow up to be dogs.
Yes, and cause a lot of destruction and mayhem along the way.
That's right. Don't go buy a puppy. Buy a future dog and think of it that way. Because a lot of times, oh, the little puppy. They grow up to be dogs. And sometimes that's a problem for people. Buy a future dog. They're cuter now, but they'll still be awesome later. And they do chew everything. Or they can. 656 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. What else do we have going on? The escalation between Trump and DeSantis.
Oh okay, God. I love drama I'm not involved in.
Wow, holy smokes. You know, you would have thought that DeSantis stepped on Trump's dog. I mean, oh my God, the way he has lit up. It's just, you know, Florida sucks. Florida's education system sucks. Not exactly a trash. I mean, it's not a quote exactly, but that's basically, he's trashing Florida now as an indication that he thinks Governor DeSantis is just a mediocre governor who engaged in lockdowns. I'm like, my God, man. What is it? Burn everybody down who doesn't see everything your way 100% of the time?
Plus, doesn't he live in Florida?
Right.
I mean,
didn't you move here for a reason? You can't really move here and then be like, yeah, but I shouldn't have. I mean, you're in the best position to know where to live. So, okay, whatever. 6:58 on News Radio 92.3, time for
Future News. I don't like it when Trump talks bad about my boyfriend.
I understand.
My married boyfriend.
Okay, Santa Rosa abandoned the Muskogee Indians, the cultural center. Do you think they'll approve the like $70,000 to help fund that?
Yeah,
I do too, and I think it's a good project. I like the project. The only question is really whether they might find other funding sources like tourism money. You know, for example, I think will they go with the Enterprise fleet or will they stay with the regular pattern of waiting for the hope to get new cars in Santa Rosa County?
The fleet. I think that's a good idea. The more I hear about it.
It makes sense to me.
It does.
I'm persuaded. Okay. Will we actually get a viable option after today's Escambia County Commission meeting on the District 1 Medical Examiner facility?
No.
Yeah, I that would be definitely a Lucy in the football thing for me. I'd like to say yes, but I don't think so.
It's so weird that there's not one because it's super important.
Yeah, not an appropriate one, not a better one, not a right one. Yeah. Bill moving in the Florida legislature to change the death penalty recommendation requirement from unanimous to an 8-4 recommendation, which a judge could, if the jury recommends death, the judge could still always impose life, could reduce rather than enhance. That was the problem before that we got into. The judge could enhance. Do you think that'll pass and become the law of Florida? Eight people?
No.
I actually think it will, but I don't like it. Even though I hate the Nicholas Cruz outcome, I hate that three people thwarted the death penalty there. Eight is not enough. It needs to be. I mean, I get uncomfortable at nine. I think 10. 10 to 2. I can accept 10. But a third of the jury says no and you're still going to execute somebody, that's a concern.
Stream us at newsradio923.com. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.